2 Kings chapter 1, as we consider the last prophecy, great dramatic prophecy of Elijah. We have one more event to take place in Elijah's life before leaving this super prophet. But tonight we're going to consider his last prophecy, which is in 2 Kings, and it has to do with his relationship with King Ahaziah. Beginning with 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Now Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers and said to them, "Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron?' Now therefore, thus says the Lord, 'You shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' So Elijah departed. And when the messengers returned to him, he said to them, 'Why have you come back?' So they said to him, 'A man came up to meet us and said to us, Go, return to the king who sent you and say to him, Thus says the Lord, Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' Then he said to them, 'What kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you these words?' So they answered him, 'He was a hairy man and wore a leather belt around his waist.' And he said, that is the king said, 'It is Elijah the Tishbite.' Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him, and there he was sitting on the top of a hill. And he spoke to him, 'Man of God, the king has said, come down.' So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, 'If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Then he, that is the king, sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, 'Man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly.' So Elijah answered and said to them, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again he, that is the king, sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, 'Man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50s with their 50s, but let my life now be precious in your sight.' And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him, do not be afraid of him.' So he arose and went down with him to the king. Then he said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. Because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place, in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? In this last dramatic prophecy of God's super prophet Elijah, we find highlighted the main theme of the power of the Word of God and the feeble attempts of men to change, to alter, to redirect, or somehow affect what God has spoken. Ahaziah was King Ahab's son. We have already had a look at King Ahab. He was the husband of Jezebel. He was responsible for creating a religion in his nation called syncretism. He took the Baal worship, he took the fertility cults, and he made it all a part of the worship of God. He allowed his wife to set up the temples of foreign gods right there in the land of Israel. He had prophets from Baal as well as prophetesses and temple male and female prostitutes. Ahaziah was Ahab's son. I think it is interesting that on the Sunday before Mother's Day, that we have a king who was a bad news king. Because we will find in Scripture, as I have said before, that frequently, whenever a bad king is mentioned, he is called the son of so-and-so. Whenever a good king is mentioned, his mother's name is listed in the genealogy. For example, with your Bibles, look with me at 2 Kings chapter 12, in verse 1. It says, in the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, if you want to see something that's bad news, look over at the next chapter in 2 Kings, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 17 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Then look down in verse 10. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, became king over Israel and Samaria and reigned 16 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam. So that his father is often mentioned, and it is a tribute to motherhood and to the influence of mothers upon their children. And it is a recognition from Scripture of the significance and the importance that women have played throughout biblical history. What we meet tonight is the verification of the fact that God moves in mysterious ways, His word to vindicate. Whatever else may go on in the world, we see, based on this text and other texts throughout Scripture, and it's true throughout 2,000 years of church history, that God's word will only be confirmed in the history of mankind. If you go back to verses 1 and 2 in 2 Kings chapter 1, first verse 1 says, Moab rebelled. Moab was a kingdom which was subservient to King Ahab. But soon as King Ahab died, and Ahaziah ascended to the throne in Israel, Moab rebelled. And they refused to pay tribute and decided to assert themselves. What happened then was Ahaziah went to war against Moab. But Ahaziah had seen his own father, Ahab, killed in battle. And so Ahaziah said to himself, I don't want to put myself in a dangerous position, so I'm going to stay at home instead of going to war. And what happened then? He had a fall. It is interesting that no matter how one might try to escape, the Word of God and the purpose of God, no one can escape. Are you familiar with Deuteronomy 32:39? Where God says, see now, it is I am He. It is I who have wounded and I have killed. And it is I who heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. So Ahaziah could have been out on the battlefield, or Ahaziah could have been in the comfort of his own bedroom. And it is true, no matter where we are, be sure, as the saying goes, your sins will find you out. You see, you can't hide from the searching eye of God. And God had a purpose. And Ahaziah, of all things, fell through the lattice work in his house. He had an accident. It did not seem to be a fatal injury, but at this point, and this is what is significant at this juncture, and it is the fact that Ahaziah had a choice to make. When he was sick, when he was injured, he had a choice. Either he could have sent to Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, which is the fifth northernmost city of Philistia. He could send down to one of the Baal gods, or else he could send for a prophet of God and inquire of the Lord. What Ahaziah chose to do was to search out something that was forbidden by God to do. And that is to go somewhere else for spiritual answers other than the Word of God. But the Word of God will not be flaunted. It will not be rejected by man, no matter who that man is. Sooner or later, one cannot break the law of God and expect to come away unscathed, because the law of God will break him. Ahaziah's background, grant you, in this choice was against him. I mean, he was reared by a mother and daddy. Young people, The mother and father of Ahaziah were indeed bad news parents. I mean, Ahab and Jezebel. I have never in all my ministry met a woman named Jezebel. And I think it certainly is to the credit of parents that they at least perceive that they wouldn't name somebody Jezebel, but I haven't met anybody named Ahab either. Ahab and Jezebel were really bad parents. I mean, they had taught their son to worship in a fertility cult. They had given him a freedom to choose whatever religion, as it were, he wanted to choose, although he was already prejudiced to choose the Baal worship. Ahaziah could have chosen, though, another path. He didn't have to choose the path of his parents. He didn't have to follow the Baal worship. He had heard about Elijah. He had heard about the miracles which God had wrought. And he could have chosen God. But what he did, in fact, was to choose something else. Sometimes, you see, the point that I'm making, sometimes we tend to blame the way young people turn out, whether good or bad, on the parents. We say it was their home life. We say it was their mother or their father at fault. Or we say it's because of their race, or we say it's because of their poverty, or we say it's because they were born in an urban center, or we say it's because they did not have certain cultural advantages. But if anything that this text teaches is that no man can have an excuse before God for having rejected the God of the Bible. Every man is responsible to choose and to obey the revelation which God has given of himself in his word and in nature. Romans 1 says, "Thou art without excuse, O man, for God has revealed himself to the heart of man and to man in nature and man in his word, so that every man is responsible before God to choose the God of the Bible." I said God works in mysterious ways to confirm his word. Even though Ahaziah thought that he was going to avoid trouble and be safe, he had simply an accident in the bathtub, as it were, and he was injured, and he made a choice, and his choice was, "I choose the Baal worship." You see, Baal in the New Testament, Baal-Zebub, is another name for whom? Who? The devil. Jesus calls the devil Beelzebub. Do you know what Beelzebub means? Did any of your margins say yes? Yes. Did you hear her? I didn't think you did. Lord of the flies. We're reminded of Golding's book, The Lord of the Flies, when the hog's head was sticking on the stick. And the flies all around, Beelzebub. Imagine anybody wanting to inquire of a God whose name was the Lord of the Flies. God's word will be confirmed. God's word will triumph over man's attempt to destroy it. For when Ahaziah sent his messengers to Ekron, they were met by a strange-looking character who was hairy and wore a leather belt. And this character said, "Is it because there is no God in Israel that you've sent to Ekron to inquire? Why didn't you choose me?" And Elijah said, "Go back and tell the king that because he has chosen Baal, he will never get up from his bed of sickness." Do you know what Ahaziah did? He got mad. He said, "Well, I'll deal with this prophet in my way. I want you, captain, to take 50 of your men and go out and find that man, and you tell Elijah to come here. And so they did just that, and they found Elijah sitting up on a hill, and they came to him and they said to Elijah, come here. The king wants you. Man of God, come on. Elijah said, if I'm a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men, and poof, ashes. So the king got so mad again, he sent them once again, and the language intensifies if you follow along with the reading of Scripture. The captain came out with his 50 men, found Elijah sitting on a hill, and he was really hot. He said, come down right now. Elijah said, if I'm a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you. Ashes. The third captain and his 50 men came up, and they came to Elijah, but the third captain had learned a good lesson. Did you notice it in verse 13? He said, man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. You see, God will triumph over man's attempt to destroy it. That's what I see in this contest between Ahaziah and Elijah. Ahaziah trying to thwart, trying to change, trying to alter what God had said would happen, trying somehow to diminish the word of God that had been pronounced against him. Ahaziah said, well, I'll take charge of this situation and I'll do something about it. And God's word every time will be fulfilled. God's word will triumph every time. It can never be destroyed. We say frequently on Sunday morning a verse that Peter repeats, but he's actually quoting Isaiah. Do you know the verse that we sometimes repeat? I repeat after a scripture reading. Who knows it? I wonder if anybody remembers it. The grass withers, but the word... All right. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. It cannot change. Jesus himself said that everything that has been revealed in the word of God will be fulfilled and that nothing will be subtracted from it. And the writer of Hebrews said that the word of God is quick. That means alive. That the word of God is quick, it's living. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God. Man's attempt, no matter where they come from, cannot change that. God's word is the revelation of the one true God. In verse 3, it says, is it because there is no God in Israel? God had revealed himself to Ahaziah, just as he had revealed himself to his father Ahab. What had he done? He had given him an opportunity to repent and to change. I think of all the religions of the world. I think of Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam. All the choices that a person could make today. I hear some people say that they are just sizing up the different ones and then they will make their choice. I think of what's happening in America today. Do you know? There is a phenomenon. Some of you can't see this print, I was reading a research journal called the Christian Research Journal. It's on cults and that kind of thing. There is a group out today called the Channeling Movement. Most of you, some of you younger folk are probably familiar. Do you know what I mean by channeling? It's the old spiritism. Channeling are things like when Shirley MacLaine and celebrities and other people pay $400 for a sitting, and then they are poised and they allow themselves to become possessed by another personality whom they claim may be 1,000 years, maybe 10,000 years old, and this person begins to communicate spiritual truths through the body of this person, and their personality changes and their language changes as well. Oh, do I believe it? Yes, I believe they're possessed, all right, but not possessed of some being from 2,000 years ago. They're possessed from some being at the beginning of creation. The spirit of Beelzebub himself, the same spirit that led King Ahaziah to go ask a foreign god for spiritual truth, is the same spirit that leads these people to experience what is called channeling. It's not a modern phenomenon. It's what is called the old spiritism. It was actually started by a Russian. Interestingly, it was started by a woman. If you'll note that many of the cults, if not most of them, were all started, I hesitate to say this, were all started by women, okay? If you look, that is not a shot in the dark. If you will look at the cults, you will find that many, if not most of them, originated either through the prompting or through the vision or through a new religion from some woman. This was a Russian who came to this country. She started a movement called Theosophy. And what she did, instead of transmitting messages from Uncle Harry or George Washington, she said that she got in touch with a Mahatma over in India of some 2,000 years ago, and she began channeling messages to people through him. It's the same thing as a medium. One woman who began to play around with a Ouija board kept having a name that was spelled, and the name was S-E-T-H, Seth. Now today there are millions of people, millions of people in America who wear three-piece suits and who have the largest homes and as many cars as money can buy, who read the Seth papers religiously. That is the movement that has given rise to people who are professional channelers, and it is alarming. But what I see here, I see in 2 Kings an omen, a portend of the same type of thing that is going on in our country today, where people, where men and women are seeking after spiritual truth and reality from some other source other than the Word of God. Now listen, you cannot find any other truth, spiritual reality, than that which is revealed in the Word of God. There is no other true truth than that which God has communicated in His Word. You don't have to look to a channeler. You don't have to go to Hinduism or any other means God has revealed His truth, and this is it. There is no other avenue to find out true truth than the Word of God. That is what we see from this chapter. In 2 Kings chapter 1, God's Word will finally, it will be confirmed, it will triumph over any opposition, no matter what's going on in America today, and it will finally judge all men. Elijah returned, you see. In verse 16, he says, "Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-Zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of His word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die." It is a dangerous thing to play with spiritual realities that you don't know about, because they are real and they're evil. And God forbids you as a believer to seek any other information about spiritual truth in the hereafter, or contact with anybody who's dead, or anything like that, because God's word forbids it, and you're playing right into the hand of the devil when you do it. Ahaziah died. He was powerless to change the word of God. His kingdom was dismantled about 100 years later, and all of the tribes, 10 tribes of Israel, were disseminated so that they are what are called the lost tribes of Israel today. You can't break God's word. Sooner or later, it will break you. The word of God is like what Jeremiah called the hammer. He was called the hammer on the rock. God's word is like a hammer pounding, pounding, until it crushes all its opposition. Isaiah says, "Once again, my word which goeth forth from my mouth shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish the purpose for which I send it out." God's word will accomplish a purpose tonight. He has a purpose in your being here. He has a purpose in my being here. And He has a purpose in the word that is being communicated to you and to me right now. Do we need to defend the word of God? Elijah didn't need to defend it. Someone once said, the word of God is like a lion. If you will release it, it will defend itself. There is a psalm which talks only about the Word of God and the benefits of the Word of God. Do you know what that psalm is? Anybody? Yes? 119th Psalm is about the Word of God. I want to challenge you to do something this week. I want to challenge you to take the 119th Psalm and to meditate on it every day, and think about how the Word of God will always be confirmed. It will always triumph over any opposition. It will finally judge the hearts of all men. Ahaziah tried a big gamble, and he made the wrong choice. I want to challenge you this week that you make the right choice, that you saturate yourself in the Word of God, and that you bring your heart into obedience to that word. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a fully surrendered Christian. Maybe you're here tonight and you have never really just surrendered your heart to Christ for the first time. I want to challenge you, and I want to invite you to do just that. Maybe you, I don't know, maybe you have had problems with the devil. Maybe you are tempted to become engaged in things like horoscopes and Ouija boards and seances and talking and finding out spirits, talking with people from the dead. I don't know. But I do know this, that if you've had any problem with that, then the Word of God is what you need. And I would encourage you to come and to talk with me, or if you know people who are having that kind of problem, that you would encourage them and pray for them, because it is serious and it is momentous. May God take Psalm 119 and apply it deeply into your own faith and heart. Let's spend a few moments in silent prayer as you ask God to seal to your heart the benefits of His Word preached and taught throughout the day, and then I'll close in prayer.